If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In the Bible here, in 1 Corinthians, we're going to go to chapter 10. This is Paul likening the people of God in the wilderness. How many remember he brought them out after 430 years of bondage out of Egypt, and he brought them through the Red Sea? You remember the story? They came out of the Red Sea. The Bible says he brought them by the way of the what? The wilderness. This was a place of testing the people of God. And Paul here, I believe it was around 1,500 years later, and he's speaking to the Corinthians and using as the same example of how the children of Israel were when they were going through their testing through that 40 years in the wilderness. And there was a purpose why they had to go 40 years. God says, because of their complaining, because of their unbelief, because of them not really trusting fully in God. When he sent out the spies, they came back, and how many remember? They sent them back, and they had a what? An evil report. This is the attitude of many. They look at things, and it's easy to get discouraged by what we see. It's easy to get discouraged, especially by the way you feel when you see something. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go ahead and read here in verse 1. Let's go ahead and read it through. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be what should be ignorant of how that all the fathers were under the cloud and all passed through. Notice, all passed through the sea. They came across that Red Sea. And the Bible says here, they all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat that God provided out of heaven. And did they not all drink the same what? Spiritual drink, for that drink was what? Christ, that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were for our what? In samples or example, to the intent that we should not what? After the evil things that they also lusted after. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. And as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us what? Tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. God wouldn't do that to his people, would he? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and the murmurs were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happen unto them for what? God's trying to show us something here. And they are written for our what? God wants to help us to understand. Don't do what they did. I'm showing you exactly how I dealt with them is how I'll deal with you. Now, I know we're in a new covenant and we're under grace and all that, but grace is a lot more strict. Back then, under the commandments, you had to commit full-blown adultery and fornication, and you could lose your life. But now, he says, all you got to do is think it in your heart and lust after a woman, and you've already done it. You don't have to commit the act. Just look upon a woman to lust. Look upon a man after to lust. And you've already committed that sin in your heart. Folks talking about grace today as a free pass to sin. There, the devil is a liar. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What if God don't let you be restored? He destroyed them. Now, all these things were done unto them for examples that were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no, notice what he's talking about. Temptation is in context here. That is such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, somebody say, but will, with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you will be able to bear it. Quickly turn with me, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he what? Grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? I want to focus on that thought right there, carcasses in the wilderness. Don't die in your wilderness. Don't die in your place of testing. Don't give up. Don't fall into sin in that wilderness. 400 years, God brings them out after showing his miraculous hand through Moses. We see, some would say, upwards of 600,000, a million. The Bible speaks of a great and mighty hand of deliverance. God brought them by the way of the Red Sea. God chose to go this way to manifest his power. Can I tell you, when God brings you out of something, it's because he wants to bring you into something. God brought them out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. Amen. God will bring you in your life out of places, and he will bring you to somewhere that he has ordained you to go. But let me tell you, it's a process. The in-between is a process. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Can you say amen? There's a lot of folks that have started this walk of Christianity, but they don't make it through their wildernesses. They don't make it through the place of testing. They don't quite make it through the times of trial. Can I tell you, this life is a wilderness. This life is a test. Let me tell you something. This is a test. Amen. And what many of us are facing today is a test. Many of us are going through trials. Many of us are facing hard places. Now, if you're in a season where things are going well, God bless you, my brother and sister. Wait a little while and life will change. I assure you of that. Something will come along to get your attention. Something will deal with you to bring you to the reality of life is always changing. You got things going one way one day, and the next day it can change. You can get a phone call, and all of a sudden, your life is changed. Amen. But God is a God that never changes. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That ought to get our attention today when God says, I've shown you how I dealt with my people when they went through the way of the wilderness for 40 years. He says, I brought them through that Red Sea. And you would think because of the great and mighty act of opening up a Red Sea, bringing them across, not just opening up, but on dry ground. Are you listening? I mean, he brought them across not on muddy soil. He brought them across on dry ground. God is a good God. He could have left it muddy and soggy, but I made it comfortable for their feet to cross on dry land. Oh, somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Oh, it could be a lot worse than it is right now. I don't know where you're walking today, but oh, glory be to God. Don't be looking at it one way. You can say, oh, look at what I'm facing. Look at the mud I'm walking through. Look at everything that I'm facing right now. Oh, watch what you complain about, brothers and sisters. It could be a lot worse right now than you think it is, but oh, oh, God is a good God. He left the ground. He says, I want to make it dry for them so they can pass through to the other side. God is a good God. He says, not only did I open up that Red Sea and give them dry ground, but I brought them through and I allowed them to come through an experience so that I can show them how faithful I am to them. This was a group of people that had everything they needed in Egypt, but they were slaves. They were slaves. For 400 years, they had a mentality of being a slave. 400 years, generation after generation. Now God all to once says it's time to get up and out of this place. We know through the prophetic word of Joseph, God is going to send a deliverer. And Joseph said, don't you forget my bones when God sends him. That deliverer was Moses. He brought them out with a strong hand of deliverance. But we need to understand that God, brothers and sisters, brought them through by the way of the wilderness. And what they began to see is God was a God that was more than able to provide their every physical need in the wilderness. We read in Corinthians that cloud by day, that pillar of fire by night, and that rock. See, they needed water, and God knew to be able to give all these people water. I mean, we're talking literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Many of them have debated the number that actually came out of Egypt. We don't know altogether. All I can tell you, there was a lot of people that God had to feed in that wilderness. Now, when we think of a wilderness here in New England, we think of the trees, we think of running streams and hills and valleys and beautiful green, because we live in New England, but a wilderness in this part was a dry and arid place with hardly no vegetation at all. It was nothing but rocks. There was no water. There was no sustenance, anything to live off of. Are you listening? We're talking about a place where there were serpents and there were vipers and there were all types of snakes. And out in Arizona where I grew up, they had scorpions and tarantulas. Now, I don't know altogether what they got over there. I know they've got snakes and whatnot. But this was a place where they had to totally rely upon the provision of God. They began to get hungry, and God provided them food out of heaven. How many remember that God provided manna from heaven? Amen. He also provided and did a miracle and gave them quail one day. But they still found themselves complaining and, oh, it wasn't good enough. And, oh, it's the same old thing every day. Have you ever had somebody complain about eating the same old thing every day? Can we learn to be content with such things as God has given us? See, some of us will find ourselves complaining, but oh, thank God that we have something to eat. Hallelujah. Thank God that we got food on our table. Brothers and sisters, we as humans, we are so apt to complain even when we have what we need. The Bible says here, that they got thirsty, and he provided with a miraculous miracle through Moses. He spoke to the rock. See, Moses was upset at them because they wanted to kill Moses. They said, what, have you brought us out into this wilderness to allow us to die, us and our children? Just constantly complaining. Can I tell you, there's some folks, if they're not complaining, they just don't feel right. They've always got to complain. They've always got to come up with something to growl about and get angry about and get frustrated. And if you're saying, oh, well, your pastor's preaching on me. Yes, I'm preaching on you because you're here this morning and that's my job. Amen. Can I tell you, I've used to be one of the worst murmurers and complainers until God got a hold of this preacher's heart and began to tell me, listen, I have given you so many good things, but you stay focused on what you don't have rather than what you do have. Thank God that he's given us a house over our head, a roof over our head, clothes upon our body. We've got a car to drive. We got food in our cupboard. And I know some of us grew up without much, but quit looking at what you don't have and give God glory and praise for what you do have. Problem is that we focus on the negative. And the problem is God was not well pleased with this generation because they were a bunch of complainers. And the problem is they started complaining, and every time you're complaining, you got to blame it on somebody. The problem with most of us, including myself, is that we lose focus of what God is trying to teach us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. God was providing. Somebody said, and the Bible says, we eat what we speak. Amen. The Bible says that whatsoever you shall ask, he will give it to you. Whatever you believe him for, our Heavenly Father knows what we are in need of. But the problem is, brothers and sisters, oftentimes we want to ask God for something, and God knows that if he gives it to us, sometimes what he gives us will ruin us. Aren't you glad God has not always answered every one of your prayers? Have you ever had some prayers that weren't answered? How many of us know he knows what we need more than we know ourselves? We need to understand that God has given us a pattern and an example through his people in the wilderness. A pattern is a model or something to be imitated. And we need to understand that as God admonishes us, as these being in samples or examples, he gives us these particular examples and shows us how that they did certain things And it grieved God. The Bible says he was grieved with that generation in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to preach to you here in a minute. Amen. But you got to grasp this to understand. We are all in different wildernesses in our life. We are all going through different trials. We're going through different tests. We're going through different things in our lives personally. I don't know what season God has you in and where you're at right now. But are you passing the test in your wilderness? Are you going through what God has placed you in with a heart of thanksgiving rather than a heart of complaining? Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, I begin to turn my complaining into a praise. Amen. I've started, instead of complaining about the situations that I'm in, I've learned to give him thanks in how many things? In all things. No, it doesn't feel good, but I still give him thanks. No, I don't like where I'm at right now, but I still give him thanks. No, I don't like what some of you are going through, but I still give him thanks. But one thing we need to recognize, God is still faithful, even when we're unfaithful, to give him thanks. Thankful, the Bible says, in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We've got an unthankful generation today. We've got a younger generation that's coming up that does not want to do anything but complain and take a handout. Amen. All they want to do is say, oh, you owe it to me. And if you tell them to work or you tell them the truth about what they really are, they get offended. They get upset. They don't have any tough skin, if you will. Amen. We've got a generation of sissy young men that don't know what a good days of hard work is. We've got a generation of younger women that don't know really what it is to labor in the kitchen and labor at a job and labor to take care of children. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he can't eat. Amen. I'm telling you, God's about fed up with this murmuring and complaining generation. And God forbid that the Old Testament God step down into the midst of this modern day church and begin to deal with us the way that he dealt with them in the wilderness. I'm here to tell you, some of us better be careful. I myself included, I've caught myself complaining. And God says, stop that complaining, preacher. Stop that murmuring. Stop complaining about your circumstances. It could be a lot worse than it is. But I'm trying to encourage some of you to let you know, you may be in a wilderness. It might be hard physically right now where you got physical problems. You may have some financial problems like most of us do. We're all being faced with different types of temptation of the lust of the flesh. Amen. Some of you are dealing with sexual temptation. Spirits of lust raking your mind and raking your spirit. Oh, you don't have to say, man, there's a lot of single folks in here. And flesh is flesh no matter whose bones it's on. I know that many today are dealing with the lust of the flesh in here. Don't be scared of pastor this morning. I'm preaching to you to help you. I'm preaching to you to encourage you. To let you know that God is faithful, and no matter what he allows you to go through, he will give you a way to escape that temptation. Temptation is an absolute in every life of a believer. You will be tempted. Till the day you die, you will be tempted. The tempter will come. And it's not always the devil that tempts you. It's that flesh of ours and that flesh of yours that tempts you. You can't be tempted with something that you don't have an appetite for. How many like chocolate ice cream? I like Rocky Road, praise the Lord. Amen. Marshmallows and peanuts. And how many like a good steak dinner or a good chicken dinner with broccoli and mashed potatoes? Food's a good example because we all like food. I don't know too many people that don't like food. Have you ever been tempted to just eat more than you really need? This is something God dealt with the children of Israel. He provided for them what they needed. See, there's a difference when my children come to me and they say, Daddy, I need this, or Daddy, I want this. There's a big difference. There's needs. Where you have to have it, you must have it, but then there's wants. And how many of us know we got a generation of wantonness. Amen. Folks want this and want that, but it's really not necessary to have it. Listen, there's some things we can live without. Amen. There's some things we really don't need in our life. I don't always want to learn something the hard way. How many of us know what learning something the hard way means? You learn it firsthand. Amen. But there's some things we can learn from others by just listening. 1 Corinthians 10:5. But with many of them, 1 Corinthians 10:5, was God not pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. God had miraculously delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian territory, out of Egypt, giving them safe passage across the Red Sea in barren wilderness. God provided for them manna, bread from heaven, Exodus 16:4, and he provided them with water through supernatural means, and that supernatural miracle in Exodus 15:25 and chapter 17:6. And above all that, Paul here in Corinthians says that Christ, who is that spiritual rock which followed them, the spiritual rock was Christ. Nevertheless, Paul maintains that most of them, God was not pleased with them. And I want to break this down and say, is God pleased with you today? If God was to look down on your life, is he pleased? Brother Ricky was sharing this morning about Enoch, who walked with God. And he was not. God raptured him or just took him out of here. You can use whatever word you want to describe it. But God took him. But before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. Are we pleasing God today? What pleases God is obedience. What pleases God and what true faith is obedience. What was God so angry at the children of Israel in the wilderness? What irritated him? What provoked him? The Bible says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. They were in the wilderness murmuring, complaining, dissatisfied, disgruntled, upset, frustrated with God, frustrated with Moses, constantly just complaining about everything they can complain about. What makes us complain so much is because there's something within us that is not satisfied. There's something within us that is not right. Will anybody admit today that I probably complain a little too much? Examine yourself to understand that this complaining is what is hindering most of us from receiving our promise. God had a promised land. I'm here to tell you that God brought them through the wilderness to show them that he is not only faithful, but he's a patient and long-suffering God. How many of us know he's patient? The Bible says he's willing that none should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, God destroyed most of this generation in the wilderness. They died, all the murmurers, all the complainers. They wandered in that wilderness 40 years, round and around, going through the same temptation, going through the same problems, year after year, faced with the same trials, faced with the same lust of the flesh, year after year. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm dealing with that same temptation. I'm falling into that same sin. I'm walking through Budweiser country. I'm walking through Marlboro country. I'm walking through pride. I'm walking through the same lust of the flesh. I'm walking in unbelief. I'm walking in discouragement. Listen to me. Round and around and around in a wilderness, constantly dealing with the same sin, the same problems, the same things. I'm not here to tear you down. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to die in your wilderness. Jesus Christ came and he provided a way of escape. He provided a way to where when you're faced with temptation, you don't have to give in to the temptation. salvation, but He's given us the power of the Holy Ghost to all rise above sin, not give in to the temptations of the devil. There's some of you that are wandering in a wilderness, and brothers and sisters, you're going to die in that wilderness if you don't get a way of escape out of your wilderness. There's only one way to get out of the situation you're in, and that's through Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He says, I'll make a way when there seems to be no way. I don't know what the devil has you bound with today, but Jesus will be your way of escape. Jesus is the way. He is the one that gives you the power. He is the one that gives you the ability to resist temptation.